Proverbs 21. Won't be long till we'll be finished with Proverbs. I have thoroughly enjoyed the men doing the teaching and just sharing with us what God's shown them in the passages. And it has been a blessing. All right. So this is Proverbs 21. And let's just kind of get started with it. And I'm just going to hop, skip, and jump because we just kind of have to go in a hurry. But it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And I'm just going to park there for a second. And men will be teaching next time, Lord willing, if we have enough that want to do it. And hopefully we will. And what an excellent verse. I have stated that to myself, reminded myself of that so many times. As we've had former presidents and maybe even a current president and governors and city council and county council. And I've had, you know, other things to where things have gone on. And I've said, Lord, you're able to touch a heart. Well, it says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And so, I think I missed a word there. Rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Yes. So, Lord, if you can do that with a king, it's no problem for my neighbor. Or it's no problem for a prisoner. It's no problem for... And so, Lord, I'm praying that you'll intervene in this situation. So, what a great verse to start the chapter. But as I look at the chapter, and I was just such a blessing. In this chapter is an emphasis on godly characteristics. Godly characteristics. Now, somebody give me a godly characteristic. So we all know what we're talking about. Just name a godly characteristic. Okay, godly is an adjective, all right? So it's talking about God. So what would be an attribute that would be like God or that would remind us that we can become, like 2 Peter chapter 1 says, a partaker of the divine nature, all right? So what would a godly, just name one, there's a bunch of them. What would a godly attribute be?
Holy.
Holy, very good. All right, how about one more?
True.
True, I think I heard that.
Faithful,
is that what you said? True, okay, so we got true and surround sounds. Stereo there, all right. So those are the kinds of things. Now, when we look at this chapter, and I know I'm going quickly, but when we look at it, let me just highlight a number of godly attributes that are mentioned in here, and then we're going to see how they apply, all right? Verse number 5, notice that. Thoughts of the diligent tend to righteousness. What would be the godly attribute in that verse?
Righteous.
Okay, righteous, well, that would be true. But what would be, an action or something that I can be a partaker in? Okay? Thoughts of the diligent tend to righteousness. Wouldn't necessarily be just thoughts, would it? Because you can have unrighteous thoughts too, right? But the thoughts of the what? Of the diligent. That means I've got to pay attention to what's going on upstairs here. I've got to pay attention because I know that when I would do good, evil is present with me, right? I go through this every day. You do too. Whether you ever stop and think about it or not, you and I, every one of us in here, have a daily battle of the mind. Whether it is a thought of being proudful or a counter thought, reverse psychology, as some I would say, and you weren't thinking about being proudful at all. You were just thinking of something that was good that you were doing for someone else, and then there's a thought that comes, oh, you were just being proudful. Well, no, you weren't. You were just wanting to be a blessing to someone. And so if you had been proudful, the devil would have been pleased. Or if you weren't being proudful and the temptation came in to say you were just being proudful, then you would feel, oh, wait a minute, I better not do that or do that again. That's just out of pride. So then the devil gets advantage of us in not following through. Does that make sense at all? I don't know if that made sense. All right. Hopefully it did. So in other words, we just have to be aware of the devil's devices. That's why we have to be diligent in our thoughts. The Bible says it like this, taking every thought. Okay, how inclusive is every?
All.
Ah, it's good. All. All right. Says taking every thought into, what's the next word?
Captivity.
Okay? We've got to take every thought into captivity And we've got to determine, we've got to be diligent about it, saying, is that a righteous thought? Well, if it's not a righteous thought, back it up. What led you into that? Where you say, well, I just want to think some wicked thoughts, or I want to think some selfish thoughts, or I want to think, well, then that's sin if you got into that. But if it broadsides you and you weren't planning on that and it just comes in to tempt you into it, well, that's not sin. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when sin hath conceived, when my will attaches to temptation, okay? When my will attaches to temptation, then it becomes sin. Temptation's here and it cannot make me sin. It's not in its power to make me sin. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10:13, yes. It cannot make me sin. All right? But when my will says, ooh, I like that. Or my will says, oh, I better do that, or I'll never, or I won't, or whatever it is, either through intimidation or enticement, that's where we have to be diligent. I'm taking too much time. Verse 8, for the pure, his way is right. Would that be a godly attribute? Of having the right way to go, of planning on that, and it says unto the pure. So there's several attributes. Purity is a godly attribute, okay? So for the pure, his way is right. Verse 11, when the wise are instructed, he receiveth knowledge. When the wise are instructed, he receiveth knowledge. All right, what's a godly attribute there? Wise is very good. Yeah, wise is very good. All right, so when we look at that, his way is right. All right, verse 12. The righteous man considereth the house of the wicked. All right, what's a godly attribute there? I think we've already talked about it. Righteous, very good. All right, verse 20. Treasure and oil is the dwelling of the wise. I'm not saying that right. Verse number 20. There is treasure to be desired in oil in the dwelling of the wise. All right? So what would be the godly attributes there?
Wise.
Again, very good. All right? Verse 26, the righteous giveth and spareth not. Okay, righteous would be the attribute. How about the upright? This is verse 29. The upright directeth his way. What would be the godly attribute? Okay, upright is very good. Now, I think I kind of confused it at the very beginning. I began giving the second part instead of the attribute. All right, so here you have the attributes. You have diligent, you have diligent, you have pure, you have wise, you have righteous, you have wise, you have righteous and upright in all those verses, all right? Now, how do we participate in that? All right, so in the first one, it would be being diligent. In the second one, it's being pure, and it's in his way is right. Verse 11, when the wise are instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So when somebody's trying to instruct me, if I'm wise, I'm going to pay attention to it. Okay, I had somebody do that for me recently. And if I'm wise, I'm going to, instead of being defensive or, oh, I already know the answer to that or whatever it is, when somebody's trying to help, or even if they don't mean it for help, even if they're critical or whatever it is, I ought to be able to be wise enough to separate truth from error. I've learned through the years that the truth is, no matter why a person means whatever they're bringing to my attention that I might want to be defensive about, usually there's an element of truth. Not always, but usually there's an element of truth. And if I'm wise about it, I'll ask God for wisdom to say, all right, Lord, was there 1% truth in there? Was there 80% truth in there? Was there 100%? Was there 40%? Lord, help me to find what percent of truth is in what's brought my way. And Lord, I want to grow as a result of that. Now, 95% of the rest of it may not be true. Or maybe only 1% of it's not true. But whatever is not true, I can just kind of flush that and let it go. But as far as the others, so now, and I have to hurry here. So with knowing the attributes and what we can do about it in pursuing those attributes that are godly, then how do I go about doing that? Well, he gives us that, and that is so rich. I wish I had another 15, 20 minutes, but I don't. That is what's so rich in this text. Notice verse number 3. Verse 3 gives us two things. He says to do. Or gives us two things. To do. Number 1 is justice. And number 2 is what? Ah, wait a minute. I need to be about justice and judgment. If I want to partake in all of these attributes that he's giving all through this chapter, then none of those are going to take effect unless I have judgment and justice. Here's the Bray definition of judgment and justice. I think judgment has to come before justice. Okay, and here it's judgment, justice versus judgment. Justice is doing the right thing. Judgment is determining the right thing. Okay, judgment is where it's the district attorney and he's giving his case, and you have a defense attorney and giving his case. All right, in the mind, we have to sort through those things. Is this from God? Is this not from God? Is this temptation or is this not? Is this conviction or is it false conviction to lead me into false guilt or whatever it is? And so when you and I stop and we say, all right, he says to do justice and judgment. So when I develop my skills in thinking through things and I arrive at a judgment, you've heard me mention the brain, the mind is the courtroom of the heart. The heart is the what of the life. Anybody remember? Sanctuary. That's what we embrace. You come here to embrace the Lord and worship the Lord. Amen? So the mind, though, is the courtroom. He says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things just. He gives 8 things and he says, think on these things. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose what? Mind is what? Stayed. Oh, sorry, folks. Stayed. So you're fixed on it. You've got a hold of it. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Thou, God, shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee because he what? Trusteth in thee. So the point is, it says to do. How do we get these things in our life? They don't just go to boop, 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 boop. Now I have this attribute and I have that attribute and I'm following. No. He says 3 things here. The first is in verse 3, to do justice and judgment. And when we do that, that represents, when these things in our life, that represents kind of, not the best way to put it, but that represents representation. When we have justice and judgment, what are we doing? We're reflecting God. He's just, isn't he? And he makes righteous judgments. Then we begin, we're at that place where we're representing God. And the Bible says in verse number 3, and justice and judgment are more acceptable than sacrifice. What does sacrifice do? It's restoration. When I have to ask God, when he died on the cross for my sins, he did that to restore that which was lost. We were lost because of Adam and Eve's sin. And we're born again and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, bought back by the blood of the Lamb. Well, what he is saying here is to do justice, that's doing the right thing, and judgment is determining the right thing. So when I determine the right thing, then I've got it with my will, and Romans 12, 1 and 2, I become that living sacrifice, and I say, yes, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth, as Samuel was instructed by Eli. So that's what we have there. All right, then you come to verse 15, and I'm out of time. Verse 3 says to do. Guess what? Verse 15 says to do. Oh, it does it again. But notice what it says about judgment. It is a joy. That's in verse number 15. How does it say it? It is a joy. It is joy to do just to the judgment. It is joy to the just to do judgment. So just, the just ones, are those who are righteous before God. Think with me, if you will, please, and I've got to close. Oh, I don't want to close, but I have to. When you're walking with the Lord, and you want God's will in your life, you're not just kind of shadowing things in, you're not just kind of going this way and that way and every which way, but when you're pursuing justice and judgment, and then you come to verse number 15, and it says, it is joy to the just, to those who are wanting God's will, and to have godly attributes. He says, it is joy to the just to do judgment. determining that which is right. Why? Because when you do it, you know God's in it. When you do that, you have godly considerations. Okay, is this God's will or not? You have godly conclusions. Yes, this is according to the Word of God. No, that violates the Word of God. So you have godly considerations. Then you have godly conclusions. And then you make godly commitments. No wonder he says it is a joy to the just to do judgments. When you and I get in that frame of life where we're not intimidated by that, and you look at every venue life, you look at every setting, every situation of life, and you says, God is going to provide. There is a righteous way for me to respond to every issue of life. Okay. I know what God's done for me already. And I'm going to use that kind of as a cheerleader to say, all right, let's give it some consideration. Not just my mental thoughts. No, but according to Philippians 4:8 and so many other places, Isaiah 26:3, so many different places about our thought life. Okay, Lord, I'm going to think this through. And not only will I have consideration, I'll come to some conclusions. Lord, unless you show me otherwise, this is what I believe is right. Now, I'm going to study your word about that subject, but then we have commitments. And when we have that, oh, what a blessing it is, because you know God is in this and I can't wait. Whether it's to go right in the middle of the fire. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in these matters. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, then we're going to go. We're not going to bow down anyway. Because we know God is in where we are. And then they got to walk with God in the fire. You and I have that privilege. I don't know if any of this made sense, but it was rich to my soul. And I didn't get finished with the last one. The last one, oh, it's good. Verse 21, follow after righteousness and mercy. Righteousness is living according to God's standards. Mercy is living according to God's ministries. When you and I are practicing justice and judgment, and then it becomes a joy for us who want to be righteous before the Lord. We don't have a little thing on our lapel saying, righteous, you know, I'm righteous. It's not that at all. It's just loving Jesus and saying, Lord, how do you want me to respond to that old nasty neighbor? Lord, how do you want me to respond to arthritis or one of the other itis brothers, you know. Lord, I don't know how you, you show me, and I want you to get the glory. And if it's painful, that's all right. You can still get the glory for it because you'll give me the grace. I know you will. Whatever it is, when we do that, and you come down to verse 21, and I wish we had time. Why don't some of you tackle that? And it's a joy. It's great. But God has a way for us to walk in the light of His Word as we trust and obey. I trust that we will.